Amen. Last night I watched the Chronicles of Narnia. And you know the bit where the lion goes and puts himself on the table and he sacrifices his own life for the sake of Edmund, one of the children. And pretty horrific, as they're all laughing at the lion as he voluntarily lies down on that table, and they're laughing at him and scoffing him, and the wicked queen, she stabs him, and they're all rejoicing over it. And then of course the next thing we see in the scene is the lion is coming off the table, having been reborn. And you know what a wonderful picture is in about saving grace, isn't it? God took our place this morning. How wonderful, how gracious. And he goes on to say some wonderful things in John chapter 14. Something we're just going to just read this morning. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Believe in God. Well, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's many rooms. If it wasn't true, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going there, therefore I'm coming back. Amen. He's coming back. And the wonderful words are, I'm coming back to take you. The reason Jesus is coming back this morning is to take you. That's his only reason for coming back, as we call the parousia, not the second advent, the rapture. That's how much God loves us this morning. And Jesus is just waiting to come and take us back. Why? That where I am, you might be also. Hallelujah. They say to him, but we don't know where you're going. Thomas says to him, Lord, we just don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I thank you that God is declaring that he is truth and not a lie. And that if we believe in him, then we believe the truth that he says, because that's what you do. You have to say to someone, you're a liar or you're telling the truth. And if Jesus says, well, you know, I'm telling the truth, that means Jesus is coming back for me. Yeah. Because that's what he says, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Now we all believe that or we don't believe. And therefore, if we believe that, therefore he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it get so messed up, because listen, at the end of the day, I'm coming back for you. And for those of you whose loved ones are left behind, don't worry, he's coming for them first. And he makes that clear in 1 Thessalonians 4. They're actually going to beat you. Only by the millionth of a second, or the wink of an eye, or whichever way you prefer to have it. So I don't know, I can't wink. It's something I can't do. I was never good at getting girls by doing that. I just can't. In fact, when I did that, there used to be, what's his on? So I'm not very good. Can you wink, Julie? Well, she can. Well, Julie can wink. Well, we're not going down that line, love. So let's. Father, we just thank you, Father, that Jesus is the truth. Thank you, Father, that he's not a lie. And we want to rejoice in your word this morning as we finish off, Father. I thank you that you have called us to be children of light. And we just pray, Father, Lord, that that's what we will be, Father. And that's what we'll work to, Father. Because, Father, we just want to love you and obey what you've said in Jesus' name. So, Spirit of God, just come among us now in Jesus' name. We ended up last week by only covering 2 points up, and we said we were not going to push this. We would just do it little bit by little bit, because there's no point in rushing the Word of God. But we said that we were called to reverence God, and we talked about God being our Heavenly Father, but that he should get the reverence that's due to his name. And I hope this week you have been able to reverence your Father. I hope you've come before him, and I hope we've given him his duty and his due. And one of the duties of honouring God's Father is to do what he says. And what he says, of course, is to do righteous works. So you and I have been called. So can I say publicly thank you for everyone who went out and get an egg? Now, we did eggs, Avril and I, and we did it in two hits, and we gave an egg, and we walked along a few more doors, and then suddenly this little girl rang out and just ran up to Avril just to say, "Thank you for my leg." And her parents had obviously made her obviously go out to thank us, because they were standing at the door. She was in her pyjamas, and it was about 12 o'clock at night, and but it was just lovely to see a young girl running across the street with a little egg in her hand and just saying thank you. And the parents had obviously do, and it's good to say thank you. But you know, the first two doors Avril went to, she got them slammed in her face. You know, and I said to her, "Listen, if that's the worst that ever happens to us, I can put up with that." You know, sometimes we get praise as the little girl came out, but the opposite can happen. And I know Mary and Doreen had someone who was pretty obnoxious to them. Pretty obnoxious. In fact, I think the words they said was, "If Jesus was alive now, we'd crucify him." Do you know that? It's a true statement. He doesn't realise that what he said is true. If my Saviour came back here today, within a few short months, they would crucify him again.
But can I just say what Mary said in response to that?
Yes, you certainly can.
She said, "And if you did that," she said, "he would still love you."
Amen. Gracious answer. What a gracious answer. Do you remember the man crossing the switchblade? He said, "I could cut you up into 1,000 pieces. This was a guy who had a knife. He said, "I could cut you up into 1,000 pieces. And Wilkinson said, "In every one of those thousands of pieces will cry out, 'Jesus loves you.'" Friends, we've been called to serve God, and you gave eggs out. And some of you, like us, we had a bit of a rough time with somebody, but some other people... enjoyed it and took their eggs. Listen, God has recorded that in heaven. Not that so we can get honour, but God has recorded everything we do for him in honour. And one day, as I said as we ended last week, we will stand in front of God and give an account to what we have done. You know, there's a girl came running in tears to her father, and she said, "Dad, you gave me some terrible financial advice." He said, "I did? What did I tell you?" She said, "You told me to put all my money in that big bank, and now that big bank is in trouble." "What are you talking about?" He said, "That's one of the largest banks in the world. There's got to be a mistake." "I don't think so," she said, and she continued to cry. He said, "Well, how's that?" She said, "Well, they've just returned one of my checks with a note saying, 'Insufficient funds.'" Well, you finally got it. I don't want us to get to heaven with insufficient funds. My father's got a big bank. He has the largest bank in the world. Trust me, he will never get into financial trouble. Your rewards are safe. They are stored up for you. They are gifted up with you. Just as that little egg was given. Nicely wrapped up. Again, thank you for the Thursday home group. They did their little bit. They wrapped those eggs up. I don't know how many they consumed as they were doing it, but they did something for God. Our teenagers have done something for God this week, and I would like you at the end of the meeting just to take 2 or 3 minutes, that's all it will take you, to go into the back room and have a look at what our teenagers have done. And thank you to Lisa, who's been to church this week again to finish off stuff. That's out of her own time. But God has recorded that in heaven. And we thank you for Lisa, and we thank you for the commitment that, you know, that our teachers have for our teenagers. But thank you, teenagers, you've done something, and I hope people will now encourage you by going out there at the end of the meeting and spending 2 minutes. That's all we're asking, 2 minutes. But encourage our teenagers. They've done it for Easter. And we just... I want to encourage you. Well done, teenagers. That's something you've done for God, and God will record it. And by the way, we've had, you know, great feedback from the pub they call The Crown now, used to be the Forget-Me-Not Club. Well, they've graciously said to us, "We can use our car park on Good Friday." So Good Friday morning from 9:30 till 11:30, you can use the car park. Amen. God has favoured us with his blessing, new ownership, but God has still put favour upon us. Those of you who need to park in the church, that car park in the church will be open for you. Those who cannot obviously walk the length of the car park. But if you can walk the length of the car park on Friday, a Good Friday service, please park the Forget Me Not Club free, and we'll have a great time. And if you would like to join in the service, if you'd like to do a reading on Good Friday morning, would you please come and see me afterwards? Or better still, please could you go and see Katie, because I might not be around. Could you go and see Katie afterwards, please, and just say, I'd like to read on Good Friday, because I'd like to involve you in the reading of the services. Well, let's get back to the meeting. So we have been called to reverence God, and we've been called to do righteous works. But what else have we been called to do? Well, we've been called to a richer place. I want to thank God we've been called to a far, far richer place than we have now. Amen?
Yeah.
We know we are living in the light when we come to a place in our lives that God has called us, in Colossians chapter 3. I don't know whether you've got Bibles, but Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. I wonder if someone would like to shout out the reading of that word, of Colossians 3 chapter 1. Because we have been called to a richer place.
This then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Great. Mine goes a bit longer. Think about the things of heaven, not the things on earth. That does not mean to say that we don't get caught up in the normal work and routine of life. That is obviously important. But what God is saying, number one priority, if we are going to honour our Father, is that we now have to look at heavenly things in the sense of that's where our new life is now. We are no longer earthly people. In that sense, we have been born again by God. God has put His Spirit upon us. And He says we're now to look to our Heavenly Father for guidance, wisdom, direction. And where is He? He's not on earth. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. And there needs to be a fourfold change in our lives. And the Apostle Paul tells us, we haven't got time to do that, but Colossians chapter 3 is about a fourfold change which happens in your life. And the first one, of course, is you become born again. Born again. Then the second thing is, then things in our lives which have to go, gradually God gets rid of and puts in things that He would like to in His place. And He gives you the list of the things that God wants you to take off. He calls it taking off the old man and putting on a new man. In other words, since we're now new creatures, we're new people, we have to get rid of some of the stuff, and we have to put into some of the stuff. And you know, we are not to be so transfixed with everything in this world that we lose our sense of our destiny. And our destiny, brothers and sisters, is heaven. I'm sorry, but that's where your destiny is. That's where we're going. And, you know, we can be... Avril calls me a gadget man. I don't know where she gets that from, but she calls me a gadget man. And she's frightened every time I walk past the electric shop because there's a new gadget out there and I will be drawn into it. And she knows I do like my football. And she knows there are certain things, she, you know, that we do like. But the question is, are those things so real to us in the sense that we would struggle to give them up if God calls us to a higher place to serve Him? And in all seriousness, you know, Abel said, would you seriously want to go back to Sunderland? And I said, no, because this is where God has called me. And as far as I am concerned, I'm staying here, like it or not, until God takes me away. In other words, I've set my heart on higher things. As much as I love other things, I would never go back to my hometown unless God had called me. Because I've got to find out where God wants me. God has called me to a higher place in Him. And I can genuinely say that I would give up. But I would give up going back to Sunderland, going to watch a football game. I'd give those things up if God wanted me to do something else. Because I have to live my life in the sense that this is not my place, this is not my calling. I can't get tied down to my house, my car, even to my Jag, which you people are going to race for me. I can't get tied to all that. As nice as I'm looking forward to it, I can't get tied up to it. You know, there was a man died. And Rachel, his wife, was finally able to speak about what a wonderful husband he was. She said she thought of everything, did Sidney. Just before he died, he called me to his bedside and he handed me 3 envelopes. Rachel, he said, I put all my last wishes in these 3 envelopes. After I'm gone, would you open these envelopes up and do exactly as I've instructed? I know you love me, and I know I can rest in peace knowing you'll do exactly what's in these envelopes. First envelope contained £5,000 with a note, please use this money to buy me a nice casket. So she went out and got a mahogany one, and she beautiful casket, it was all lined up. Second one, he said, here is £10,000. Would you make sure that everybody has a good time? And so she bought all his favourite foods and she laid on a great banquet. The third envelope she opened up said, here is £20,000. I'd like a nice stone. So Rachel showed her hands out to her friends and said, I've done exactly as you said. How do you like my 20 carat golden ring? I don't think that was the stone he was on about. Do you like my stone? If everything we have and hold dear to is tied up in this world, I have to say it doesn't honour the Father. Simply because God's called me a stranger and a pilgrim. It doesn't mean to say I can't enjoy my surround sound. It doesn't mean to say I can't enjoy going to a football game. It doesn't mean I can't enjoy living my life and having my house and everything else. That's not what God is saying. God has given us every blessing in Christ Jesus. We have to be the most blessed people, and we have to be the most happiest people and contented people. God wants us to be the best in everything. But what God is saying is, can you give up anything up for me? If there's anything in your life that you could not give up for him, you need to start setting your things on higher places. It's the thought of a pilgrim who's in a foreign country. This is what it means to be a stranger. He's passing by a brief period of time. I don't know about you, how many of you go on holiday? Avril drags me on holiday. I don't like holidays. And I hate being away for more than a week. I'd rather be at home. And when I'm away for a week, I think about home often. I don't know about you. And even when I was away, when I had a decent job in Aldermaston, when I was away from home, Avril would long to hear me pick the phone up and ring her. In fact, that was her last orders. You will ring me every night you're away from home. And she wanted to hear my voice. And I wanted to hear her voice. No matter where I am, ever in this world, there's no place like... There's no place. I couldn't call the place that I was... when I was in America, I couldn't call that place home. To me, it was somewhere where I had to be. But my home... is home. And that's why sometimes I keep saying about Sunderland, because where I was born is where you're affiliated with. Isn't it? It's where you're affiliated with. You know, Avril was born in Reading. So therefore, affiliations in Reading. We're born in heaven now because we're heavenly people. I'm sorry, you're a heavenly person now. And God has called you to be a heavenly person. And we should long to go to heaven. This is just a passing place. This is a visiting place. This is vacation. This is vacation. Billy Graham says this. I had a friend who, during the Depression, lost his job, lost a fortune, lost his wife and a home. But he held on to his faith. He said, it is the only thing I have left. One day he stopped to watch some men doing a stonework on a huge church. And one of them was chiseling a piece to go into that stonework. He said, what are you going to do with that piece? He said, my friend, this is just a little piece, but it needs to go way up into that spire. And while I'm shaping it down here, soon it will be fit, ready to go into that statue way up there. And this, as I believe, is exactly an illustration God is saying. God is shaping us down here. He's chiseling away our lives with that little stone. Because one day we're going to go up into the big statue. We're going up one day. And we're going to go up there and we're going to fit perfect. Because heaven is destined for us. Heaven's been designed for us. I go to prepare a place
for you.
And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to take you to the place that God's prepared. In other words, heaven's been prepared for us. Hallelujah! My mansion has been prepared for me right now. I hope it's got jacuzzis, swimming pools. I hope it's got all the latest gadgets. But isn't it wonderful? Think about it. I don't care who you are this morning. Heaven's been prepared for you. And when, yes, and when your room's ready, Curtis, I've got some bad news. You're going. Listen, if we are so mind-fixed here on earth, how are we ever going to realize the treasures that God has for us in heaven? All I'm saying is this. Enjoy earth. You have to enjoy earth. But this is what the Bible says. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They didn't receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were strangers and nomads living here on the earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking to another country. And they call that their own. You see, if they'd longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. I'm not going back to the life I used to live. I'm staying and going, hopefully going forward in God. I'm not going back to the life that I used to have. That's no longer. So if we are looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland, that is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. We're going to have to rush on here. Because the second thing that God wants us to do this morning is that God has redeemed us. God has redeemed us. We have been redeemed. That's why we're going to heaven. What is redemption? Do you know what redemption is? For you know that you've been paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was with the precious blood of Jesus. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him to ransom me before the world began. Friend, I hope you realize just exactly what Jesus did for you. I want to tell you that's why he wants you to go home with him. God loves you so much that this is what he did. Redemption is a bursting back. Something that has been lost. It's been paid a ransom. I've got this board for you. You can all read it. It's the idea of paying a price. Jesus has paid a price that you and I might go to heaven this morning. He paid it with his own precious blood this morning. He was prepared to lay down his life. Lay down his life that you and I might have life this morning. In the Roman place, it meant being a slave. Little boys and girls, you know. The same thing is happening today as what happened in the Roman times. Little boys and girls were dragged and they were paraded in a city centre. And people would barter for those kids to take them into slaves. And Jesus says that's what you and I were. We were a slave to sin. We couldn't stop sinning. We are a slave to sin. We were in that marketplace. But Jesus bought us back. And we're no longer slaves. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I hope you're getting this picture this morning. Because I want to tell you something. I want you to go on that website. It's a bit of fun, but it's serious. It's called How Many Slaves Do You Have? Now, one young lady has gone in it, and I think she came up, she had 34 slaves. I won't mention her name, obviously, for the protection. 34 slaves. I went and did it. I'm not telling you how many I had. But I want you to go and visit it. You see, we live in a world where you think you don't have any slaves, but listen, it'd be interesting for you to go and visit that website and come back and say, you know, I went and did that little bit of fun. And then you go back and you drill down into the slaves that you do have. I want to tell you, I hope you're not a slave to sin this morning because God has set you free. You've been paid with a price. You've been paid with a price. You see, we are free to serve a new master this morning. It means we are purchased by God from slavery to sin and Satan by Christ's death. We have been set free this morning by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there are some people who haven't. Katie and I have looked at the responses from those who have put things in the box. These people are in slavery, men and women, boys and girls. And in the next couple of weeks, Katie and I are going to put a pack together where we can, as a church, be effective in helping to combat slavery. You know, I thank God that my goddaughters are not slaves. I think most of all they know Jesus. And I had the privilege of watching them preach while they were being baptized. And they've been redeemed. They've been redeemed from sin. They've been redeemed. And every day I pray for them because I know these three daughters, very pretty daughters, are subject to a world which is antichrist, both morally and spiritually. And I hope as parents you're praying over your children daily and nightly. We need to make sure that we keep them redeemed by what God has given us this morning. We have been redeemed not with gold nor silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Christ, Paul says, is this, where you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you are going to share in his glory. It's the fifth and final thing as we draw close this morning. We have been redeemed. And one day God is going to glorify us. Why should he glorify us? But one day God is going to take us to be with himself, as we've read, and he's going to glorify us. We're going to stand in white raiments, which is symbolic, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Read it in Revelation 19. And he's actually going to proclaim us. Can you imagine God wanting to proclaim a creature like me? God is going to stand there and proclaim me in front of his Father. I will be risen up and glorified. That's why I said, don't let your hearts be troubled. That's why he said it, because listen, one day, Eddie, you will stand with me. Together we will stand. And I will show you off to my Father. You will be glorified, because I have been glorified. Friend, I can't think of a more wonderful picture than that. I have been redeemed to be glorified. All he asks is that I might honour him and respect him. I might work for him. I might do what I can to change lives which are broken. People who are today going to be sexually abused, so some man can make some profit. God has called us out of darkness into light. But has called us to fight injustice where we can. We cannot stand back if we're called by him to the injustice that is going on in this world today. I don't know about you, but John says, when I saw him at his feet, I fell as one that was dead. But Jesus said, I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I hope that encourages you to be spur on to do works for Christ. He is alive forevermore, and he is reigning in our hearts and in our lives. Our God reigns, but the Christian faith stands on a living God. And if this man is real, we say, and this man is the Son of God, and this man is seated at the right hand of Christ, and he's told us the truth, and the truth has set us free, what are we going to do with the truth? Because God has called us out of darkness into light to be his precious treasure. Isn't this a better hope than staying in the world with all the possessions that we could have? Isn't it? And I'm great that I'm a stranger passing through. Seriously. God has got much more in store for me than all the gadgets that I'll ever have or purchase. Does he not give us back a desire to live for him, to work for him, and most of all to please him? I hope it does, because Peter says you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Questions to ask: are you guilty of speaking to your Heavenly Father in casual terms that are not full of respect? Why is it important to respect our earthly and heavenly fathers? Knowing that you'll be judged for our works, whatever should we do in this life? Can you honestly say you live with an awareness of just passing through this earth to your eternal home in heaven? Why do many believers forget about their temporary state here? Questions, they're all in your back page, they're all in your notes. What's the danger of not forgetting that we're passing through? How many keep heaven afresh in your mind? Why do we all need to be redeemed from the very world which God had created for us? Finally, give a practical definition for the word redemption. I was once a slave, I've now been bought back. I have been redeemed. Do you have confidence that God will really raise Christ from the dead? And if so, that he will raise you too? Does trusting in God help you to deal with the fact of death? I hope it does. One day every one of you who know Jesus will stand beside him in white raiment, and he'll say, Father, just look at my bride. Look at my beautiful bride. I hope we'll give him honour while we have a chance. Father, we thank you for the gift of redemption. We pray, Father, as we leave this morning, Father, we will have that great sense of joy and excitement One day we are going to be taken out of this place. We're going to be with you. And you're going to honor us and raise us up. What a glorious prospect, Father. In the meantime, help me to live tomorrow in the light of your word. For Jesus' sake. Amen.